Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. On this morning's show, I want to look at what has happened in just the last week regarding COVID-19 and how it continues to have a major and ongoing impact on youth and amateur sports. Now, in short, we just can't seem to get a real, a direct, or concrete sense of this disease and how to truly control it and corral it. And it's especially true when it comes to youth and amateur sports. I mean, we keep hearing that the number of cases, unfortunately, are on the rise in at least half of the states in this country, and that the numbers are rising again in Europe. And naturally, medical experts everywhere are fearful of yet another surge taking place this fall and winter. Schools, of course, continue to be worried about kids becoming infected. Virtual teaching is becoming more and more commonplace. Now, yes, the professional sports leagues can play and they do compete. Well, simply because they have deep pockets to set up bubbles and extensive testing measures. And as a result, they can move forward and play their games. And we heard just this past week that the Big Ten is going to start their football season on October 23rd. Why? Well, again, because they have the funds to test their players on a daily basis. And if any football player in the Big Ten does test positive, not only will they be quarantined immediately, but they will also be checked for any cardiac concerns. As you know, we talked about myocarditis as something that has popped up as a real concern with kids who get COVID-19. But again, the Big Ten athletic programs, they have the finances to do all this. By the way, you also might note that the medical director at the University of Iowa in the Big Ten thinks that moving him with football is a bad idea. He feels that it's a major risk and there's no reason to do this. In any event, all this is having a tremendous effect on high school sports simply because we aren't in a position yet to place high school athletes in an isolated bubble. Then you might have heard this past week that the head football coach Ed Orgeron at LSU said in passing that most of his team had contracted the disease this summer, but they're okay now. Most of his team had COVID. So again, LSU is in full speed ahead mode. But I gather, once again, that they are doing daily testing because that program can afford to make it happen. Let's remind ourselves that there are now close to 200,000 deaths from COVID-19 in this country in the last 6 months, and the numbers continue to rise. There is still no vaccine, and lots of people still don't wear masks. Moving on, this past week in Connecticut, there was a big rally staged at the state capitol in Hartford to support Let Us Play, which is a movement to let high school football move ahead and compete this fall. But the CIAC, the governing body in Connecticut, governing athletic body, well, they weren't dissuaded, saying that tackle football is still a major risk for all concerned when it comes to high school football. And then, most ironically, a high school football player from Maloney High School in Connecticut who attended that rally to support Let Us Play, well, he was diagnosed with COVID just a few days later. It's just unbelievable. You know, again, we keep hearing over and over and over again, this is a disease that has spread so quickly, and of course it's invisible, and it finds its way to infect young people, old people, you name it, but it's a real, real concern. This past week, Catholic high school football in New York State was postponed until next spring. Football in New Jersey, well, that's still moving ahead, but a number of schools and school districts over in Jersey have already canceled their fall sports, including football. And look, let me be very clear about all of this. I know this is not fair in any way to high school seniors who are athletes and who are eager to have video to show to college football coaches because they want to be recruited. I get all that. But at the end of the day, is this risk really going to be worth it? And that unfortunately is where we have to sort of dig in today, because with all these things constantly changing, things going on, new reports of rising cases, as I mentioned, the kid up in Connecticut coming down with COVID after going to a rally to support high school football. We are still, the difference is the high school programs don't have the monies, the budgets, the deep pockets to basically get kids tested on an everyday basis. And that's a real major concern. And I don't know how we get around that. Again, we talked in the last couple of weeks about travel and club teams and how they continue to play right along, but they are a different situation. They have something to do with terms of being able to be outside the school district's, reign, and they can basically do what they want to do. It's as simple as that. And then I want to point out the fine piece of journalism that Jerry Longman did in the New York Times this past week. Again, all in this past week. In his article, he focused on the uptick in high school coaches who have retired due to worries about COVID-19, and that the vast majority of these coaches, well, they just didn't want to take the risk of catching the disease from their high school players. And what I thought was particularly alarming in the article in the Times was how many coaches have passed away. Longman writes that at least 30 high school and club team coaches have died of coronavirus-related causes. That comes from a search of a number of online obituaries. And though we all assume that the coaches are older people, well, some of the coaches were in their 70s, but there was one coach who was 27, another who was just 30. Just another warning, that sign that COVID-19 doesn't necessarily attack and kill only those coaches who are older. I want to talk about this because obviously we're still grappling with this. We still don't have any direct answers yet. We're still waiting for direction because it's been a unique phenomenon in our lifetime, and we're still trying to get around this. We'll take calls about this today because I think this is the most pressing topic we can address at 1-877-337-6666. As I said, I think it deserves all of our attention, and we're looking for new ideas, solutions. I have a couple of thoughts I'll share with you as the hour goes on, but let's talk about this. Let's start our conversation this morning with Ed Ward over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing? I'm on my way up, actually, to coaching a showcase tournament up at Centenary University in Hackettstown. And I just want to say one thing before I have to say about the COVID-19.
Yes.
If any players are getting recruited by Centenary University, it's worth going to. They got a beautiful, beautiful baseball complex. The campus is beautiful, and I had good conversations with the coach and staff yesterday, and it's worth taking a look at that school at the D3 level.
Mm-hmm.
So, but getting back to the COVID-19, you know, and again, this is what I feel. No matter what, people are going to want to play sports. I mean, yesterday, we go up to Centenary. You know, yes, they gave us the temperature checks. They told us it's recommended that if you want to wear the face mask, you wear the face mask. I mean, some of my players did. I haven't, I'm going to be honest. But yet some of the parents did wear them in the stands. So no matter what, I mean, unless they say it's mandated, people are going to, if it's only recommended, they're going to do what they feel is right, if you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, with our sports, you know, and I am aware of the people canceling their seasons and all that stuff. maybe they should make the adjustment all told and go to the spring season, you know. But I think the one reason why they're not doing that, you got multiple athlete sports, and they're not going to know what sport to choose.
No, I understand that. I mean, that is the concern, that for years and years and years, we have always prided our athletes on being a multiple sport athletes, and that's going to be difficult if you play football and lacrosse or football or soccer and baseball. What are you going to do when it comes to the spring? Which sport gets the top priority and what have you? That is going to be a difficult predicament for these young people to decide.
Well, you know what? You know what it is too, Rick? A lot of the – now what will probably happen is if kids are multiple athletes, roster sizes of certain teams can be cut short, and there probably won't be lower-level programs on a JV and freshman level too.
Yep, that's a good point as well, Ed, that all of a sudden the numbers begin to shrink because you can't spread all the athletes all around. I also think that will continue to happen as we'll see the kids say, okay, I'm going to play this sport in the spring, but I'll go on and continue to play on my outside club team as well. It's going to be very complicated. And again, not to sort of be the bearer of bad news, there still is no guarantee that we're going to move ahead in January with sports. You know, we have to make sure.
I agree with you on that. And I do some scouting for a D3 college in New Jersey, and I've already talked to the head coach. And I said, look, I don't know if I want to go into the gyms and scout. I said, I'm going to be honest, because it could be worse in the winter. Because don't forget, that's a flu season. And other issues can come up, you know?
It is a real concern, Ed, and I think these are the kind of issues that, we have to always sort of look ahead because, yeah, these are real problems. And I just mentioned this article in the New York Times where, at least 30 high school coaches have died from being exposed to this virus. I mean, if you're a coach and you're around kids all day, kids who may be healthy and seemingly in great shape and so on and so forth, but you don't know which one of those kids are potentially carrying this virus. It is something that we just haven't been able to figure out, as I said, how to corral it and control it. And it is a major, major issue for anybody who's involved when it comes to youth and high school sports. We just heard yesterday that at Florida State, their coach came down with has been diagnosed with this disease. It is a problem. And as much as we want our kids to go back and compete, we would like them to at least understand, and with their parents, you mentioned, going up to Centenary for a showcase, it'd be nice. It's just common sense, polite, etiquette, whatever you want to say, put on the masks, because apparently the masks are still the best defense we have to protecting ourselves and our kids and our coaches. I don't understand how difficult that may be. I mean, it's something, if you're going to take temperature checks and you're going to be trying to be socially distant, why not wear the mask on? Because at least it's no guarantee you won't get it, but at least it gives you at least a fighting chance to protect yourself. No,
I agree with you on that. And this is where I think if these tournaments say or showcase it, it's mandated. When they say it's recommended, you're letting the person say, okay, well, I don't have to wear the mask if I don't want it. If you say it's mandated, I guarantee everyone will be wearing a mask without question.
I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask. And I understand. I understand there is no federal mandate in this country to wear masks, which I personally find really kind of curious and bizarre and strange. But the fact is, as you said, Ed, and I think it's a point well addressing, if it's recommended, okay, fine, I'll think about it, but there's no pushback if I don't wear a mask. If it's mandatory, then obviously people have to pay attention to this and say, okay, I'm not going to be able to have my kid take the field unless they're wearing a mask. I'm not going to be able to sit in the stands or watch behind the fence unless I'm wearing a mask. You got to do it. I mean, it's as simple as that. Otherwise, we continue down this pathway of just hoping and praying that a vaccine is the answer, and a vaccine may not come until the middle of next year. So.
Oh, I know, and the way Dr. Fauci's talking, he's like, it could be soon. Then he says, it's not going to be soon. We don't know and all that, what I mean?
We do not know. Ed, thank you as always for checking in.
Have a great day, Rick.
Talk to you soon. Take care. And again, I just want to emphasize, this is so important that when you have a situation like we're looking at these numbers, that at least 30 high school and club team coaches have died from the coronavirus in the last 6-7 months, and some of these coaches are young, in their 20s and 30s. You got to think about this. What makes you think that we've now conquered this? We haven't conquered this disease, and it's particularly prevalent when it comes to high school and amateur sports. And as we just heard, I mean, recommended is not enough. It's got to be mandatory. All right, let me take a pause. I do think we got to talk about this today because, as I said, we don't seem to be making that much progress in terms of trying to figure out or find a cure or a solution for this. I do have some thoughts and suggestions about maybe how we handle it next, but they are radical and they are bizarre to a certain point, but I do want to share them with you. 1-877-337-6666. Back with more after this. We've been talking about just the new developments when it comes in the battle against COVID-19 in just the past week and all the things that have changed in terms of everything from Big Ten football coming back to Catholic high school football in New York State being postponed to the spring and so on and so forth. I wanted to add this as well. The American Academy of Pediatrics announced this past week that any youngster who has had a bout with COVID-19 should also be checked for myocarditis and any other cardiac concerns. Now, again, that's a new warning, and I urge sports parents to pay attention. You remember when we had Dr. Franklin Zimmerman on the show a few weeks ago? He was talking about this exact point, that for some reason, those athletes in particular who suffer from coronavirus, they also tend to show signs of problems with their heart and the heart lining and problems with their lungs. So in other situations in years past, these concerns tend to go away on their own apparently, but now with the added implication of COVID, this becomes a real concern. And again, we know about the pitcher Rodriguez up in the Red Sox. He was cleared of having COVID, went back to pitch, did not feel well. He was then diagnosed with myocarditis and is now sitting out the rest of the year. So this is something, another factor that parents have to be aware of. If your son or daughter has been diagnosed with COVID-19, make sure they go to the pediatrician and get a full set of tests regarding their heart health. Simple as that. We're talking about these issues today. We're talking about all these problems, and in fact, we just can't seem to get this under control and how it has a huge impact on high school sports and high school athletes. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue with Russ in Norwalk, Connecticut. Russ, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Rick, good morning. When this story first broke back in the spring, you and I had a conversation about a tournament that was held down in Florida, basketball tournament in the summer. I don't know if you remember my call. You probably don't. But I was at a basketball tournament with my daughter this summer in Spooking, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and everybody had a mask on, and the girls played basketball, and knock on wood, at that tournament and at that situation, there was nothing. Now, in all due respect, Rick, and I know I speak for a lot of your viewers, you do a great job advocating for youth, and you're concerned, you're scared, you're afraid, you don't want to see people die, you don't want to see people get sick, nor do I as a parent. Mm-hmm. However, there's an however coming. Connecticut has done a wonderful job in mitigating the circumstance. Back when we had a lockdown for 2 weeks, back when people were staying in March and April, we flattened the curve, we killed it. We're one of the best states in the United States of America. And they're not letting kids play a couple of sports, football and wrestling. And people are upset. People are really upset. And, you know, as you know, football teaches academics, it teaches discipline. It teaches a lot of things that classrooms don't teach. And to me, if you're wearing a face mask and you have a mouthpiece in and you have a shield on your helmet that mm-hmm. covers saliva going in your eyes mm-hmm. and you're socially distant on the sideline like they're doing in the NFL, okay, and like they're putting on masks and the coaches have masks on and everything at all levels, and you're mitigating the circumstances, which is what these people have done in Connecticut. There's no reason why they can't play. Now the word is the government has shut down the stuff, but the government's telling you, well, this department did this and that department did that. But at the end of the day, it all goes up the line to the governor. The governor is Ned Lamont, who's a Democrat. The mayor of most of the towns in Fairfield County, for example, are Democrats. We live in a dark blue state. So for anyone to say that this is not political is out of their mind. This is so political. In fact, you will see, Rick, and I look forward to calling you at the end of the year again, in December, maybe even in November, that this pandemic is going to slowly go away at the end of this year. And I'm amazed at how much doom and gloom you have in regards to this. I mean,
Russ, let me stop you there. I've given you a few minutes to make your case, and I hear you. And thank you as always for checking in. Here's the problem: we're dealing with conditions here of our kids, our children, our teenagers. And, you know, we can talk all day long and get into a debate about politics, whether that's the real cause behind this, or is it a concern about economics? But at the end of the day, if you're a parent and you love your son or daughter, and yes, of course, you want them to go out and compete in sports because it's so meaningful to them, but you definitely want your son or daughter to be healthy for and live a good long life. And you also want your kids' coaches to be healthy as well. We do not have a cure. We do not have a vaccine. We don't have anything, basically, to protect us from this disease or our kids, except to basically socially distance ourselves, to wear masks, and to get a temperature check, and to wash your hands. I mean, those seem like unbelievably rudimentary measures to take, and yet we still can't figure out how to do this on a regular, everyday basis. So do I feel like doom and gloom? Well, I've been involved in sports my entire life. I don't know how else to get around this. I mean, the only thing that seems close to this is when there are wars and high school athletes and they graduate go off to war, which is life and death as well. This is a very, very serious issue, and it makes no sense whether it's a blue state or a red state. People die. So I just mentioned several times now, in the last 6-7 months, we've seen, you know, 30 high school coaches, you know, die from this disease. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And again, we have no guarantee that's not going to continue. You listen to Dr. Fauci, they all say we're worried about the winter months and there being an uptick. As I mentioned early on, we're seeing a rise in cases now in Europe. It's a real concern. And I think we have to put this in perspective. It's as simple as that. If you don't, and say, well, and one other thing I'd add, and that is, we're not saying we're canceling football. We're not canceling, you know, these sports in the fall. We're going to postpone them until January into the spring. I mean, that's a difference. Cancellation is one thing. Postponing is something else. And because we want our kids to go out and get all the benefits of playing at the youth and high school level. It's as simple as that. Let's move on. Let's go to Louis in Lynbrook. Louis, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick.
How you doing?
I just want to say how much you care about people, and I understand your position with the covert, as well as protecting people and the safety of all kids and coaches and even referees. And one of the things I wanted to bring up today was that since many coaches are going to retire, referees are going to retire now, how are we going to be playing these games with all the officials retiring because of the covert? What people don't understand is that 50% of people over 50 have heart issues and are taking blood pressure medications. And this is something that we have to be careful of, the safety of the kids, the coaches, and the officials. And we got to be aware that if we're not careful with this, that this could really springboard into a lot of heart issues for a lot of different people.
Lou, I think you're 100% correct, and that's another aspect of this, that even before the pandemic hit, we all know that getting high school referees, officials, umpires, the numbers were dwindling because, for the most part, these are individuals who are over the age of 50, many of whom have retired, but they love to be around the sport. They love to be around, you know, the action and the competition. But the fact is that the numbers are dwindling. Nothing to do with the pandemic, as you know, Lou. It had to do with the fact that they didn't want to deal anymore with obnoxious sports parents or out of control coaches on the sidelines. They just said this is not worth the aggravation, and it's a real problem.
And not only that, Rick. Well, I'm head coach at Vaughan College of Engineering for soccer. I've been there for a while now, and I coach lacrosse. The more referees I run into, the more are saying now's the time that they're going to retire. They don't need to be abused on the sideline, and now also to put themselves in jeopardy with COVID. This is going to be a major problem, I believe, and this is something that nobody's even looking at.
Again, everything's sort of put on the shelf, but I think that because everybody's focused right now, as you said, about the coaches themselves and the athletes. But, you know, when the programs come back to life, and they will, they're going to say, okay, we have to now schedule these games, make sure we have enough fields available or gymnasiums available, which may also be a problem because they're going to compress all these schedules into one, you know, one sort of small time frame. And they're going to say, okay, now we need to get refs and officials and umpires. Well, the problem is there was already a real problem in terms of getting these people to help out, and now there are going to be fewer of them because I'm going to say, there's a point you just made. They're going to say, I don't want to do this anymore because if to make a few extra bucks to do something that's good for the community and good for the kids, it's just not worth my health. And most of the coaches, by the way. I mentioned there's been a real uptick with high school coaches, not just around here, but around the country, who've decided to retire prematurely, have basically said the same thing. I love coaching. I love being around the kids, but I don't think it's worth the risk to myself and to my own family to take a chance and to contract this disease. I always mention to people that, you know, the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, that lasted like 2 years. That was like 2 years with the very little activity outside the home. A lot of sports got canceled. Simple as that. I mean, I'm not trying to be the professor of doom and gloom, but that is the reality we have to think about because we just haven't got a time yet to figure this out. I mean, it's Lou, I'm curious of your own program. What's happening with soccer and with lacrosse with you?
Well, what's happening with me is that our season is going to be in March and April, and then I'm going to shoot over to lacrosse being May and June. That's what's supposedly going on right now. But what I'm worried about is this. I mean, I'm talking to coaches. I'm reading things about coaches getting cuts with their pay because now you're talking about compressed seasons. Now, how many more coaches are you going to lose saying, hey, look, I don't get paid enough to coach as it is. Now you want to cut my salary? Nah, I don't think I'm going to be doing this anymore. That's the opinion of many people I've been speaking to lately. I think there's a major problem here.
It is a major problem. And as you just pointed out, it ripples, the cascades further out because, you know, last spring, there were a school at the high school level. There were a few school districts that said, well, you know what? We didn't have a spring sport and you're the coach, so we're not going to pay you, which was kind of short-sighted because if you're not going to pay your coaches, well, good luck in trying to find new coaches to replace the coaches who aren't coming back because they didn't get paid. And, yeah, and you know, we know that finances. Go ahead.
And once the new coaches hear about this, they're going to say, hey, why should I coach when the last coach wasn't being paid?
I'm telling you. And the other thing is we heard, obviously, during the last few months, a lot of at the collegiate level, you know, for the non-revenue sports, the collegiate programs have very quietly said, well, we're going to have to make some cutbacks. And they use the pandemic as sort of a vehicle or the opportunity to wipe out a number of collegiate programs that don't generate money for the college. It was strictly a matter of economics. They said, well, we're sorry, but, you know, we just can't afford this anymore. So, like, programs like the men's soccer program at the University of Cincinnati just got abolished, wiped off the map.
Yep.
That could continue because, you know, there's no money coming in if you're a college program.
Yeah, sure. And what I was reading yesterday was that 10% of the coaches, the football coaches, they're all getting their salaries cut. And, you know, that could be quite an issue if this keeps continuing to get worse and worse. This is why I think a lot of coaches want to play their sport. If they're not going to be playing their sport, they're going to get their salary cut. One day, that salary may not be there anymore.
Yeah, well, I think this is something nobody likes to talk about generally in public because it is a concern. It may be on the horizon. That's what we're all hoping and praying the vaccine comes along, that this virus does get under control, and we keep the infection rate down as much as we possibly can. But as of right now, there's no guarantee, and we're going to have to go through the next few months to see how we handle this. And if there was a time where everybody was wearing masks and washing their hands and socially distancing. I'm not sure that's happening so much anymore, particularly at the sports level. It's a problem. Lou, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Stay
all
well.
The best to you.
All right, let me take a pause on this because I do think we're touching a lot of the key issues that a lot of sports parents and coaches and athletic directors are in the back of their mind are thinking about this, you know, and this could be a problem come next spring. But right now, we're still trying to find our way, and as I've mentioned throughout the hour, everything changes on a week-by-week basis. And not always in a good way. 1-877-337-6666. Stay with me. And back here on the Sports Edge, a couple of quick notes. First of all, don't forget that the NFL preview show, week two, is up next after the Sports Edge at 8 o'clock's update. You can always follow me on Twitter at #AskCoachWolf. And for more resources and columns and books and so on, you can just go to my website at AskCoachWolf.com. I also want to pass along an important programming note. Next Sunday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., the Sports Edge will move aside for an important annual show on mental health and suicide prevention. The show is called I'm Listening, and it's going to, as I mentioned, air during this time slot. It's a national program that brings together artists, athletes, and medical specialists to raise awareness and to end the stigma of talking about mental health issues, especially during this stressful time of the pandemic. But again, that's next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I will return with the Sports Edge at 7 a.m. Also, one other quick note unrelated to this topic this morning, but I do want to pass it along. A number of people have asked me whether Matthew Wolf, who is currently in first place in the U.S. Open at Winged Foot, whether Matthew Wolf is somehow related to me in any way, particularly because he spells his name Wolf the same way I spell my name. No, I don't believe I'm related to Matthew. I wish I were, but I am glad he spells his name the right way. So on that note, let's get back to our discussion this morning about the pandemic, and the fact is that the things continue to sort of spin out of control on a week-by-week basis, and we're still looking for some ways to get our kids back to playing sports at the high school level. We know, of course, the travel and club teams are moving ahead, but it's getting more and more of a concern. We just don't know when we're going to get control of this disease, and it's difficult. It's heartbreaking. It's as simple as that. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to our Hall of Fame coach over in Jersey, Jack Smithlin. Jack, good morning. I know you got a few things to share with me.
How are you, Rick?
I'm well.
Welcome to this brisk morning. Walking
yes.
The dog at 40 degrees was pretty tough this morning, but I really don't know where to start. First of all, I mean, for the parents, you know, coaches and parents that are thinking about trying and everybody trying to get a grasp of this, my suggestion is this, and I know it's a tough one because I am so into this, into the sports world, and I love watching sports. But I personally think where we are right now with this virus, we have to all be patient, sit back, and wait it out. And listen, and if we all do that, we're all going to be on the same page. And I understand all the parents who want their kids playing. You know, just referring, I don't think we're teaching our kids the right things. We really are not. I watched a school opening at the beginning of this week in one of the local towns near where I live in Fairlawn. And it was gung-ho, open. Kids were coming in and out of the building. Parents were bringing their kids to the building. Didn't put their masks on until they got to the building. Once they walked away, they took all their masks off. Kids weren't wearing masks. Some of the kids weren't. Some of the teachers that were standing on the steps greeting were wearing masks. But I believe that school already shut down. I really believe. I think they went virtual towards the end of the week. And referring back to Ed, all right? I mean, I'm not here to put anybody down, but this is what I'm talking about, not teaching our kids the right things. Ed mentioned that he will not go inside to scout because of the virus, but yet he won't wear a mask outside when he is. I mean, I don't get that. I really don't get it.
I don't think he said that. I thought he said he did wear a mask when he was running his club teams and showcases.
I believe he just said, I choose not to. You know, that's me, you know. But and then a couple weeks ago, he said that he walked around telling everybody to put masks. You know, maybe I'll you know, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. Yeah. Your second caller talked about how, you know, when this first thing happened and Connecticut did everything perfectly right, I personally think Connecticut was off base for a long time. But, you know, everybody was shut down the first couple weeks, the first month or so. Everybody was. So the numbers were very low. But what happened as soon as we started opening up and started playing sports again in high school sports and getting to practices, the numbers started going up again. You know, football is a high-risk sport. I don't care what the gentleman says. No one should be playing football right now. Nobody. You know, and for coaches, understanding about the pays and stuff like that. I'm a college coach. I coached 44 years at the high school level and taught also. You know what? I understand. If you're in coaching for the money, get out. It's really not a money sport, a money job. You're in it for the love of what you do. And right now, we have to be patient. We have to wait this thing out. Don't try to get a grasp of it because we can't. Because every single day, like you started your show, every single day this thing changes. And, you know, the heart part problems with the younger kids, that 27-year-old coach I personally knew, he came to one of my hitting clinics when he was about 15 or 14 years old. And he was 27 years old, and he got the virus and died from it. So, listen, the damages that our kids are getting, first of all, most kids that have it are asymptomatic. And being asymptomatic means that you had the virus but showed no signs. But the myocarditis is present also. So your child can go all these years not knowing that they ever had the virus, and scar tissue is building up and inflammation of the arteries and veins in the heart. And that's a long-term damage. That's damage that could come back to haunt them in their later years. So my suggestion, Rick, and I hate saying this, we have to all just wait it out. Don't go in groups. Don't play team sports. You know, do your individual stuff if you can, but and do it in a safe way, but don't go back to sports right now. It's you know, the low risk. Go ahead.
As I say, as you well know, because you spent your entire life in sports, and obviously people who listen to this program are the same way, it's very, very difficult to try to preach patience to your youngsters when it comes to sports.
Oh, I know.
And they can see for themselves, just looking at television, they can see that there are baseball games, basketball games, hockey playoffs going on. I mean, they see all this, and they say college football, they're playing in front of very few, if any, fans, but the fact is that they're all playing. And, you know,
but
it's very hard to tell.
That doesn't make it right, Rick.
You know, it can't.
That doesn't make it right.
Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, but it's
agree.
It is very, very hard to preach patience to kids. And, as we discussed, there's always this undercurrent of the travel and club world where the kids are playing.
Oh.
So, as I've said many times,
you know, Rick,
go ahead.
No, you know, listen, like I said, I was a teacher for 44 years, and the best means of teaching, the best procedure to teaching is repetition, repetition, repetition. You know what? Sit your child down and tell them that sports, like you said at the beginning of your show in your intro, that, you know, the high schools and the local sports and the club sports, they don't have the money to test every single day. So when your child's sitting there watching the NFL today with you or the golf or the U.S. Open with you, you let them know that, listen, it's not the same ball game. It's that's a different ball game. And the reason it's a different ball game is because they could possibly do the right things. Now, baseball's another thing. Baseball teams have been shut down. The MLB has been shut down and canceled and things because they're not in a bubble like hockey and basketball. I mean, golf is, you know, probably one of the safest sports to play, and yet golfers are dropping out every week because of the virus. So, you know, even teams in bubbles are getting this. So it's a tough shit. You got to really explain to your kids that, listen, that's a different world right now. What you're doing is, and kids are not being safe. I watch kids walk back and forth every single day, no mask, talking shoulder to shoulder. And I'm not saying it's the parents' fault, because the parents are trying to teach, but we're not teaching the proper way. There has to be reprimand. There has to be, I'm not saying punishment, but because it's a very, very tough time.
Yeah.
It's a very tough time, but we got to be safe. We got to do what's safe for our kids.
Yep.
And our adults.
I hear you.
Rick, your show is great. I get upset when I hear people, you know, talk about, you know, how Connecticut was so great when, you know, their numbers went up just like everybody else's as soon as their state opened up. So,
but it's
a tough thing.
It's true, Jack. And let me get some other calls here. Thank you, as always, for thoughts and obviously for your emotions. Simple as that. We're all emotionally worried about this because it's an invisible disease, and unfortunately, it as I said, it's not under control. I mean, we have difficulties in trying to get a sense of where we go next with this, and yeah, it's heartbreaking to tell kids in high school that I'm sorry, but we're going to have to postpone your season for a few more months. That's brutal. Let's move on. Let's go to Lou in Seatucket. Good morning, Lou. You're next up on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Wolf, how you doing? What's going on?
Is this Lou Petruzzi?
I was the only one, Rick.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Lou, how are you doing, pal?
Well, we're doing great. You know, I feel bad. I hear all the callers. I know you're not doom and gloom, Rick. You're one of the most positive guys I know. So I like to start off with that one, Rick.
Well, thank you for that. I like to feel the same way. So Lou, I mean, you're the baseball coach at Ward Melville High School, put out some great ball players, great teams over the years. I mean, what's your sense of all this?
Well, listen, I hear Jack, the coach in New Jersey, been around 44 years. I totally respect his opinion. You know, I've been coaching summer baseball since God knows when.
Yep.
And, you know, listen, we've tried our best to be as safe as we can. We want to protect the kids from this evil virus. You know, we take temperature checks every day. We try to keep the kids as spread out as we can. They are children. You know, we live in a great school district in Three Village where our leadership has opened the schools up. We're going full-blown 5 days a week. You know, the kids are coming in. Let me tell you something. It's been the greatest 9 days of school so far because every kid understands the importance of wearing the mask, you know, Rick, and every kid understands the importance of being safe in this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had one behavior problem. Like if you tell the kid, hey, put your mask on, the kids do it. They're good kids. You know what I mean? And I, you know, it's a fine line between being safe and being overly cautious and not being safe enough. You know what I mean? So I feel bad for all the coaches. I just felt bad when I heard the coach from Lynbrook say that the coaches are going to quit.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I, Rick, you know me a long time. I've never told my kids I'm quitting. You could pay me $0. I tell the kids not to quit in baseball. I tell the kids, the parents not to quit on the program. And I'm not quitting. I mean, you could pay me zero. I don't care. Our job is baseball people. I can't speak for the other sports, but I'm sure they feel the same way. Our job is to pass down the passion for coaching and leading the kids in the right path. You know, so, I mean, we're all trying our best, and we need to hope that there is a vaccine and there is a safe way to get everybody back to a semblance of life. But, you know, I don't know how that's going to happen if people don't get the vaccine. You know what I'm saying, Rick? It's a great question that many leaders have to deal with.
Lou, have you in your school district or any of your kids, your ball players and stuff, have any of them come down with the virus?
You know, God willing, no, we've done a great job. I mean, my summer team has played 50 games this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we played a lot of games and we've been very lucky. Now, I'm sure if you tested them every day, maybe somebody's going to come up asymptomatic. I'm not sure, you know what I mean? But all I know is we've been very careful. We have like 14, 15 kids on the team. the kids have done a great job of being safe. I think they've accepted the responsibility of keeping each other safe, and we've been very fortunate. How's that? We've been very fortunate. That's all I'll say.
Well, as I said, this undercurrent of parents, obviously, and coaches know that, whereas the high schools are still very, very tentative about moving ahead. As you said, your baseball program in the summer played 50 games. Nobody got ill. And I think the point that I think is really well to reinforce is the fact that the kids do understand the responsibility that they carry, to understand that they're going to, if they want to play sports and they want to protect their family and their parents and coaches, they're going to have to simply, understand they have to do all the right things. It's as simple as that. Hey, Lou, thank you. Thank you for checking in. Good to hear from you.
Rick.
That is Lou Petruzzi, as I said, excellent baseball coach, longtime baseball coach out at Ward Melville High School, terrific guy. But again, his point is that, we're looking at kids today, they're learning, whether they like it or not, to learn to be responsible citizens when it comes to protecting themselves and their loved ones. And it's a harsh lesson to learn, but one obviously that is critically important. It's as simple as that. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Tom Lugar. Don't forget, next Sunday I'll be off. I'll be back the following Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.